Created Betzalem Elokim. He was created with divine tchunas. And because of this Iker and Emunah, we believe that man is not the same as Behemah. That man has Betzalem Elokim. It's because of this Iker and Emunah that we believe that it's possible to have a mitzvah v'halachta b'drachov. Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu command us that we should imitate God, we should go in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Isn't that the most unhealthy thing for a person, is to try to act like someone whom he isn't? The Talmud tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sheds 3 tears every day, and it's because of this Iker and Emunah, we believe that man is not the same as Behemah. That man has Tzelem Elokim. It's because of this Iker and Emunah that we believe that it's possible to have a mitzvah v'halachta b'drachov. Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu command us that we should imitate God, we should go in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Isn't that the most unhealthy thing for a person, is to try to act like someone whom he isn't? The Talmud tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sheds 3 tears every day, and 2 of the 3 tears are over the misplaced people, that the people that belong to one field, they went into a different field, they belong in that field, they went into that field. So what do you mean we should act as if we're God? The person's going to crack up, he's going to have a nervous breakdown. So the answer is no. Man was created Tzelem Elokim. All men have this, have these tchunas within them. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands the Jewish people, V'halach v'drachav, to preserve the Tzelem Elokim that he created us with. And then the next pasuk, this pasuk, V'halach v'drachav, is in Parshas Kisavah. The very next pasuk says, V'ro kalami ha'aretz. And all of the nations of the world will see, Kishem Hashem nikra alecha, that you have succeeded in preserving this Tzelem Elokim. The Yarumi Mecca, they will learn Yerushalayim from the Jewish people. That's part of the obligation of the Jewish nation. The Nevi'im tell us that we are supposed to act as an Or LaGoyim, as a light unto the nation. What do you mean a light unto the nation? We should show them how to keep Shabbos and Kashrus and Taras HaMishpacha. Why should they keep Shabbos and Kashrus and Taras HaMishpacha? The Iker, it's not relevant to them. The Iker Or LaGoyim is in the area of the Tzelem Elokim. The Yomisraelim will see that we have preserved the Tzelem Elokim. The Yarim Mecca, they'll learn Yerushalayim from us, and they'll learn how to act in the way that they have the ability to act. They were also created by Tzelem Elokim. Chaviv Adam Shenivir B'Tzelem. All people were created by Tzelem Elokim. So everybody can imitate the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us all the 613 mitzvahs. He only commanded the Yomisraelim 7 mitzvahs b'nei noach. But the Talmud does speak of the concept of Eidah Mitzuva V'Yoysa. We know that the women volunteered to shake a lulav, and by the Ashkenazim, the women even recite the bracha when they shake a lulav. The women volunteered to listen to Tkiyah Shofar, and they even say a bracha when they blow shofar for the women. There is a concept of Eidah Mitzuva V'Yoysa. Sometimes it does not make any sense. The Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Talmud Yerushalmi that when it's raining outside, when it's raining, and a person says, although he's exempt from the mitzvah of sukkah, he wants to volunteer as an eidah mitzvah v'yoseh, to sit in the sukkah. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes, he's an idiot. Nikra hedyot. Hapotam al adar v'yoseh nikra hedyot. Hedyot is the Greek word for idiot. Koin hedyot. Hedyot means poshut. There's a koin gadol, special koin, and a plain koin. Koin hedyot is an idiot of a koin. He's a plain koin. So hedyot means he's a plain individual. When the person is volunteering a mitzvah, there's no kiyum mitzvah. Is Nikra Hedyot. So sometimes there is a concept of Eidah Mitzuva V'Yoseh, sometimes there's no concept. So you have to, the Rishonim discuss it when on Baba Kama, on Daf Peches, when the Gemara talks about one of volunteers as an Eidah Mitzuva V'Yoseh to fulfill mitzvahs. So the Rishonim all ask, and the Magen Avraham talks about the Kashi, quotes a lot of Achrayim talk about it. When do you say Nikra Hedyot, and when do you say there is a Kiyum mitzvah? So you have to feel your way through it to figure out when is there a Kiyum, when is there not a Kiyum. But the Talmud speaks not only about women volunteering a mitzvah says the Shazman Gram, the Talmud speaks about non-Jews, nochrim, volunteering to fulfill mitzvahs. Some mitzvahs will make sense that they should volunteer, and some mitzvahs will not make sense. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva, he discusses which makes sense, which don't make sense. The Radvaz on the side of the Rambam in Hilchos Malachim discusses which makes sense, which do not make sense. But here the Pasuk seems to say explicitly that this mitzvah v'halachta b'drachav, this makes sense for the Yomisraelim as well. They were never commanded to observe this mitzvah. They were only given 7 mitzvahs been enough. But if they volunteer to fulfill the mitzvah of Halachta V'Drachav, it will make sense because they were also created Betzalem Elokim. So if they limitate the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it won't be that they'll be doing something that just is going to lead them to a nervous breakdown. They're acting like something that doesn't fit in with their personality. No. We're all kalami hort, yishem Hashem nikra lecho, v'yoru mimekah. They'll learn Yir HaShemayim from the Jewish people. They'll learn how to preserve their Tzelem HaKim and how to polish it up. And they'll also have Shem Hashem Nikra Lecha. They can have it on themselves also. They can also have this Tzelem HaKim. But there are some limitations. Like we said, a person going to sit in Sukkah, there isn't going to be any sit in Sukkah in the rain. There's Nikra Hedyut. That's ridiculous. So in today's Sedra, after the Mabul, we read in the Chumash, one of the limitations. The fact that we have to sit in the sukkah, is that because HaKadosh Baruch Hu sits in the sukkah? So the halach v'drochav, no, the Tanakh never describes that Baruch Shalom is sitting in the sukkah. The fact that we shake a lulav, we eat matzah mar, because God eats matzah mar, no, never says in the Chazal that the Baruch Shalom eats matzah mar. But the Chazal say that the Baruch Shalom wears tefillin every day. What do you mean he wears tefillin? And the Gemara says, what are the four parshas? We have four parshas. What four parshas says? The Baruch Shalom have all discussion in the Gemara. What it means fully, we don't understand. But little bit we do understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to know that when we're Lake Tefillin, this will not only be a mitzvah like sitting in Sukkah and eating matzah mar. Our wearing Tefillin is a fulfillment of the Halach to B'drochu, because in a certain sense we don't understand what that means. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wears Tefillin. Or when we daven, the Gemara says, Minayish HaKadosh Baruch Hu mispala. HaKadosh Baruch Hu prays also. Whom does he pray to? He prays to himself. So what does it mean, he davens? We don't understand what it means. But the Gemara quotes a pasuk. They'll come to my base tefillah. Pashup shat base tefillah means my bias, where they're going to daven. So the Gemara says, no, base tefillah, that's where I daven. The Rabban Shalom davens there. So what do you mean the Rabban Shalom davens themselves? We don't understand what it means, but part of what the Gemara is driving at is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to know that when we daven, it's not only a mitzvah of davening, it's a part of partial fulfillment of the mitzvah of Halach B'drochav. And Talmud Torah, the rabbis in the Gemara have different agadites that HaKadosh Baruch Hu learns Torah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu teaches Torah. What's the relevance of saying that he learns Torah? That when we learn Torah, it's not just a mitzvah like Matzah Mara, Sukkah, and Lulav, it's a chelik of the mitzvah of Halach B'drochav. Some of the mitzvahs of Torah are only mitzvahs, and some of them are not only mitzvahs, they fall under the heading of Halach B'drochav as well. So one of those several mitzvahs that are considered a fulfillment of Halach B'drochav is the mitzvah of observing Shabbos. The pasuk says, V'shomer b'nei Yisrael sa Shabbos, ki sheish yisyamim asa Hashem esmaim, v'yom eshri shavaz v'yinafash. Because God created the world in 6 days and he rested on the seventh day, that's why he commanded the Jewish people for Halach B'drochav, to go in his way. This is a chelik of Halach B'drochav. So if Shabbos is a chelik of Halach B'drochav, so then one ought to argue the point and say that this would certainly make sense for the Nochrim, for the Umas Olam to volunteer. They have the same Tzelem Elikim that we have. All men, Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tzelem, everybody was created B'Tzelem Elikim. So true, they're not obligated to observe Shabbos, but it would make sense that if they'll volunteer it, this certainly will be an Einem B'Tzelem V'Yoseh, and it'll fit in with their personality. They should observe Shabbos. Abchina of a halach de bedrocha. So the Chumash says wrong. After the Mabul, the Chumash says Yomim v'Layla lo yishbos. And the Talmud understands on that pasuk that a Nochri is not permitted to observe Shabbos. And that's what we say in the Shmoneh Esrei. Lo nesata Hashem v'kel l'goy ha'aratzos. Lo chalto lohen chalto liob de psilim. Gam l'chalto lishkun ha'arelim. The Nochrim have no shaykhus with this mitzvah. Other mitzvahs, if they want, they can volunteer to fulfill as an Eidah mitzvah of Yosef, and Shabbos is cut out. Why is it cut out? It's a mitzvah that the Chumash prescribes because of a halach to bedrocha, and the Umas Olam also have a tzelem elokim. So apparently, we have to read the next line in the Mishnah and all this. Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tzelem Chaviv Yisrael Shenikru Banam Lamakad. There is a maila that Bnei Yisrael have that the Umas Olam do not have. True, everyone, all human beings have the maila of Tzelem Elokim, but not all human beings have the maila of Banim Lamakim. Banim Atem LaShem Elokim means only the Bnei Yisrael. Unless someone, the Maharal Miprag writes, unless someone read the pasuk wrong, Banim Atem LaShem Elokim, the Jewish people are children of God, like all human beings are children of God. We're all children of God. So the pasuk repeats it and says, no. People have a lot of children, but there's only one who's the Bchor. Only one child is the Bchor. So the pasuk says, "B'nei b'chori Yisrael." B'nei Yisrael are the b'chor. What it means is that only B'nai Yisrael are called the Barim Lamokim. The others are not. That's how the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos. Chavi Vadim Shenivri B'Tzelem, Chavi Ben Yisrael Shenikru Barim Lamokim. What does it mean, Barim Lamokim? Like the parents give over the DNA to their children, so too, we have something in our genes, we have something in our neshama that the Ummah Salem don't have. Everyone has a concept of, everyone shares this concept of Tzelem Alekin. And B'nai Yisrael have this unique feature, a bottom lamakam, more of a tzelem alekin, to a greater degree the tzelem alekin. So that's what the Kuzari has a discussion of. Kuzari is a historical novel that there was a non-Jewish king who was Ovid Avodah Zarah, and he had a recurrent dream that kavanoscha ritzuy aval maasecha einem ritzuyim. He's worshipping the wrong religion. His kavanos al Hashem Shamayim, he has noble intentions, but he's worshipping the wrong religion, so he should research it and find out which is the dream should have told him which is the correct religion. No, the dream didn't tell him what's the correct religion. He just had a dream, he's worshipping Avodah Zarah. He should find out which is the correct religion. So the two popular religions at that time were Christianity and Islam. So he didn't even have a half a minute to look into this. Some of the other religions didn't have a half a minute to look into the other. So he was going to invite a galach, a Christian galach, he was going to invite a representative of Islam. And then at the last minute he decided to invite a rabbi, and then he fell in love with the rabbi and he converted to Judaism, and then all the members of the cabinet converted to Judaism, and then the whole nation converted, and the Kuzarim, that part is history. That's real history. There was such a nation of Kuzarim who were Gerim. The whole story, that's the way Rabbi Yehuda Levi describes it, and the whole conversation back and forth, that's already a historical novel that he made up, and what questions he asked and what answers he gave. So that's the novel part. Interesting. It's a presentation of what Judaism is all about. So in the beginning of the Kuzari, so he's, the rabbi is presenting the Jewish religion. So he says, you all know, the philosophers in the Middle Ages used to divide everything in the world into four categories. Demim Sameach, Chai Medaber. Mineral, vegetable, animal. Usually in America they say animal, vegetable, mineral, going down. So they said mineral, vegetable, animal, and medaber, human being. The halacha distinguishes also. There are some halachas that only apply to vegetable as opposed to mineral. Kotzer. Halachas kotzer on Shabbos. It's only on things that grow. There's no kotzer if you break out a stone from a mountain. There's no malacha of kotzer. Maybe a different malacha. Rashi said that's makaba patish when you break a stone out from a mountain. But it's not kotzer. And the Netilas Neshama doesn't apply to vegetables, it only applies to living animals. So the halacha also distinguishes between these categories. So Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi puts into the mouth of the rabbi when he's carrying on the conversation with the Melech HaKuzarim that you all think that everything in the world is divided into four categories, Damin Sameach Chai Medaber, the human being, you're mistaken. What if I'll tell you that there's a person who has the ability to live for 40 days and 40 nights without eating, without drinking, and he stays up and he speaks to God the whole time. So the Melech HaKuzarim says, well, that's not a human being, that's an angel. That's not on this world. The angels are from the Olam HaSol Yonim. So he says, no, it's on this world. The Jewish people. What Jewish people? Moshe Rabbeinu, there was one person. Moshe Rabbeinu was unique. He was the Adon HaNeviim, but the Kuzari understands, Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi, and the Kuzari understands that the ability of Moshe Rabbeinu to stay up for 40 days and 40 nights, lech la'achalti, amayim lo shasisi, and kabbalas ha'torah b'yom ba'layla, this was not unique to Moshe Rabbeinu. That was, all the Jewish people are cut out for that. We haven't heard of anybody else who succeeded in doing it yet. People who do it probably have a nervous breakdown. They'll crack up, or they'll fall asleep, or they'll die, something like that. But the Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi assumes that this is not because Moshe Rabbeinu was the Adon HaNeviim, this is because he was a Jewish person. And all the Jewish people have. And the pasuk says, "Panim v'fanim v'dibra Hashem imochem." V'chayrev at Har Sinai, we had a gilu shchina. We had the nevuah like the madrega of nevuah Moshe Rabbeinu. The Rambam speaks in Hilchos Yisrei HaTorah about the differences, the four major differences between nevuah Moshe Rabbeinu and the prophecy of the other neviim, all based on the pesukim in Chumash. And then the pasuk says, because Moshe Rabbeinu is the Adon HaNeviim, the Rambam says we believe in two Ikari Hamunah. We believe that there is Nevuah, and we believe Moshe Rabbeinu was the Adon HaNeviim, that his Nevuah was different from that of the other Neviim. But one of the Ikarim, one of the differences between Moshe Rabbeinu and the other Neviim was that the other Neviim had a Nevuah B'chaloyim, they lost all of their senses, they would fall down, they would fall asleep. They would be sleeping, and Moshe Rabbeinu had in the book panim afanim. He wouldn't fall down, and he wouldn't fall asleep. So all of Bnei Yisrael had that madrega in the Vuod Harsina, panim afanim dibra Hashem imochem. So Rabbi Yehuda Halevi understands that the staying up 40 days and 40 nights and not eating and not drinking, that was basically the whole Klal Yisrael have the tchuna. We all have the ability to reach that madrega. Moshe Rabbeinu was the Adon Arvim, he had even higher. But that possibility existed for all of Bnei Yisrael. So he developed this idea that there are really five categories in the world. There's Damim, Tzameh, Chai, Medaber, and Yisrael, Bnei Yisrael. That's where Rab Chaim Moser was. Rab Chaim Moser was the last rabbi in Vilna, and he died in the middle of the Second World War. He died about 1940, 1941. So he, before Vilna was destroyed, before the Nazis had a chance to destroy all of Vilna. So he was very enamored of Rab Chaim Soloveitchik. He knew Rab Chaim Soloveitchik from Volozhin. And in his tshuvas, he quotes the first tshuva. He has a tshuva about a soita, halacha lemaisa, about a soita where they need chalitza. So he quotes Yedidi, Mokiri, whatever. He loves Rab Chaim Soloveitchik. And when he knew in the late years, when he dealt with Rab Chaim Soloveitchik was, Volozhin was closed already. Volozhin closed in 1891, and Rab Chaim Soloveitchik was the rabbi in Brisk then. So he used to refer to Rab Chaim as the Brisker Rav, as the rabbi in Brisk. He used to say, his melitza was that everything in the world is divided into four categories: Damim, Tzameh, Chai, Medaber, Brisker Rav. Brisker Rav is a different madrig. So that's a takeoff on the Loshin that the Kuzari writes, that everything in the world is divided into five categories: Damim, Tzameh, Chai, Medaber, Bnei Yisrael. Bnei Yisrael are a different category. It's a new category of Banim Lamakam. What does it mean, this new category of Banim Lamakam? So the Kuzari elaborates on this theme. So he says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam HaRishon, he implanted within him some Inyan Ha'eloki, some divine, some deep, intense characteristic of Tzelem Elokim, which Adam HaRishon did not succeed in transmitting to all of his children. Some of the children had it, and the others did not. He had a lot of children. So you read Cain and Hevel. So the Mefarshim HaChumash point out, Cain had some milus, but he had some chesrenus. Now Hevel had milus and he had chesrenus. Each one had pros and cons, like all human beings. But apparently Adam HaRishon did not transmit the Inyan HaLaki to either of them. Which one of the children of Adam HaRishon got the Inyan HaLaki? That's Shais. And then Shais had Vayolad Banim Ubanot, but not all of his children had the Inyan HaLaki. He only transmitted it to one person, to Enosh, and to Canaan, to Halalel, and so on. Throughout all the generations, the Inyan HaLaki was only transmitted to one, and all the others were left with the Tzelem HaLakim, but on a lower level of Tzelem HaLakim. And the one son who succeeded in getting this Inyan HaLaki, he was different from all of the others. And this went on till the days of Noach, and Noach had three children, Shem, Chom, and Yefes, and one was Ratan, and one was not there, and one was really good, Shem. So Inyan HaLaki went over to Shem, and then you go by to Till Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu had more than one son. He had Yishmael and he had Yitzchak. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him they're not both going to be Jewish. You will not succeed in transmitting Inyan HaLaki to all of your children. Kibi Yitzchak, Yikar L'chazer. Only Yitzchak, and Yishmael is not. And then Yitzchak had twins from same mother, the same father. The Medrash says they looked alike, but they were not identical twins. The Pasuk says, Esau is Ish Seir and Yaakov is Ish Cholok. He had smooth skin and he had hairy skin. They were different, but they were twins from the same mother, the same father. So only Yaakov was Jewish and Esau was not Jewish. But Ohibas Yaakov is Esau son Esau, the Pasuk says in Novi, and after Esau was rejected, he didn't have the Inyan HaLaki. When you finally come to Yaakov Avinu, so then the rabbis of the Gemara, the rabbis of the Talmud have an expression, Yankov was Mitosa Shlema. All of his children were Jewish. Mitosa Shlema by Lubavitch means only the children are Lubavitch. Not just that they're Jewish, yeah. But when we before we go to sleep at night, so we say, Sehi Mitosa Shlema Lefanachu, we pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Of course all the children are going to be Jewish, unless I marry a Nachris. If I marry a non-Jewish woman, so the children will not be Jewish. But if I marry a Jewish woman, of course all the children will be Jewish. So we use the expression also. In the Gemara, the expression Mitosa Shlema means all the children are Jewish. And in the Bracha, that we recite before we go to sleep. So we use the expression like the Labavshim. Simitas Shleim Alafanach means all the children should be Shomrei Mitzvahs. They should all be religious Jews, not just that they should be Jewish. But from the days of Yaakov Avinu on, the Inyan Halakhi was chal on all of the Jewish people. And even if a Jew becomes a Meshumid, so the accepted opinion is that Yisrael, even Hamadasa, even if he becomes a Meshumid, he remains a Jew. There was such an opinion that once a Jew converts, he loses Kedushas Yisrael. And that's not the accepted opinion. The Gemara in the end of the first parak in Yevamos quotes one opinion in Amoraim that if a non-Jew is Mekadosh and Isha Bizman Hazeh, Choshishim Lekidushin, you have to be concerned, maybe that non-Jew is from the Aseres HaShvatim. Maybe his mother, all the way back, was from the Aseres HaShvatim. So then the Gemara rejects that. We don't paskin like that. La'aloch, Ilchasa, that the Aseres HaShvatim lost their Kedushas Yisrael because the Navi said b'nevuah, Bashem Bagodu Kibbonim Zorim Yolodu. They lost the Kedushas Yisrael. So there's a big machloikis in the Rishonim and the Goenim before the days of the Rishonim. How to understand that Gemara, how to understand that pasuk. This Dvar HaNavi, this halacha that the Navi says, Bashem Bagodu Kibbonim Zorim Yolodu, and the Gemara has an expression, Lazazim Isham, Achasom Katim Gemurim L'chol Divrei. The Chachamim declared when the Israeli came up, with the Akam Shikirish Isha Bizman Hazeh, is Choshish and the Kiddushin on that. So the Gemara says, we paskin no. So on that occasion, they ascertained that the Aseres HaShvatim lost, they forfeited the Kiddushin Sisol. So is that Nevuah only restricted to the Aseres HaShvatim? Or maybe it applies to any group of Jews who float away so far away from mainstream Judaism that they also lose their status of Kiddushin Sisol. The Gemara has such an expression in the beginning of Chulin. The Gemara speaks about the Kusim, that the Kusim originally when they converted in the days of the Tanakh, that was a farce, that conversion was meaningless because it says that Salahim Hayu Obdim, they still continued to worship Avodah Zarah. So Tosfos points out the Kama Makam is there was no Kabbalah on Mitzvahs, that they still worshipped Avodah Zarah. So the Kusim's conversion was meaningless. But then the Tanaim had a machlekes, a historical machlekes. Should we assume that at some later point in history they underwent a second conversion at that time there were Mekabal Ol Mitzvahs, so the Kusim Ageri Emes? Should we assume? No, we have no record of this. We have no evidence that there ever was a second conversion. The problem is that in the days of the Tanaim, the Kusim were keeping a lot of the Mitzvahs. They were keeping Torah Shebichtav, they weren't keeping Torah Shebaalpeh. So where did that come from? If in the beginning they were worshipping Avodah Zarah, Elohim Hayu Obdim, and they only converted superficially, like in Eretz Yisrael today, a lot of people convert just in order to get citizenship, not in order to get ahead in the army, whatever, it's a farce, superficial. So how did it happen that in the days of the Tanaim they were keeping, and they were medaktik yersim yisod, the mitzvahs that they observed more fiercely and more intensely than the regular Jews. So where did that come from? So half of the Tanaim said vanished. They hung around the Jews so long, so they picked up some of the mitzvahs, but they were never going from day number one. They were never Jews, the conversion was never anything. The first conversion described in Tanakh was nothing, and there never was anything after that, and they were going from the beginning to the end. And that's not the accepted opinion. We assume, no, the original conversion described in Tanakh was zero, because of the Salahim HaYovdim. We assume historically that they did convert again a second time, the Emes, and they were Geri Emes, they did convert a second time. But then, in the days of the Tanoim, they were playing such shtick, they were playing such shenanigans, that they decided they're only going to keep Torah Shebichtav, they're not going to keep Torah Shebaalpeh. So the Chachamim, and then the Chachamim investigated, and they saw that some of them were worshipping Avodah Zarah and Hagrizim, they had it to Musioino, the Gemara says, and Hagrizim. So the Chachamim said, this is it. They went too far away. I would guess that the Reformed Jews today are further away than the Kusim. But Baruch Hashem, nobody declared anything about the Reformed Jews. No Rabbanim are prepared to declare anything. But in the days of the Tanoim, they declared, Ad Khan, that's it, we hereby declare that these people are going Gemurim L'chol Divrei. So the Rambam's opinion is, many Rishonim hold that when he declared on the Kusim, Asom Ka'akum Gemurim L'chol Divrei, it's not only L'hachmir, that Shchitos and Avela, and his possible to exceed the Sefer Torah, it's even L'hakil, that if a Kusi dies, he's not Mitami Ba'ohel, he's only Mitami B'magra Masa, not Mitami Ba'ohel. That's how the Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnayos, in the end of Nida. In Shulchan Aruch, they quote this Pirush HaMishnayos. They quote a lot of Rishonim who hold like that also, big machlokes, that the Kusim was a whole group of people who floated away so far away from mainstream Judaism that the nevuah that appears in Tanakh with respect to Aseres HaShvatim Bashem Bogod, the Kiborim Zohar Yolodu, that they lost the Kedushas Yisrael, even applied to the Kusim. Any group of Jews who go away so far from mainstream Judaism and the Chachamim declare that the nevuah applies to them, so they lose the Kedushas Yisrael. Afilo lohakil. Bein lohakil, bein lohakil. And then there's even a further, that's a machlokes in Shulchan Aruch. How do we paskin on that? That's a machlokes. If a kusi is mekadosh and isha bizman hazeh, do you say the kedushan achal or the kedushan anachal? We don't have any kusim. They died out a long time ago. But in the earlier generations, there were kusim. There were still kusim. So they had such a machlokes. If a kusi is mekadosh and isha bizman hazeh, are you choshish in the kedushan or not? Does the nevuah that was said with respect to the Tzaras HaShvatim apply to the kusim also? The mamish kakum glom b'chol divrei. Oh no, this is a din of mumen din kakum, which is only lahachmer, not lahakil. And then the Gaonim took this pasuk, Bashem b'agod, the kibarim zarim yolodah, they took that pasuk as meaning that any Jew who converts to another religion loses his kedushas Yisrael, period. Any meshumen becomes a goy. The Gemara says that if a meshumen is mekadosh and isha, the kedushan achal. So the Gaonim say that's a chumrah midirabbanan. That's not the natar. Because Menatar, any Jew who converts to another religion, loses his Kedushas Yisrael. So getting back again, the Kuzari develops this thing, that originally HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam HaRishon, B'Tzelem Elokim, with a very intense Tzelem Elokim. But Adam HaRishon only transmitted this Tzelem Elokim somehow, the genetics were such. It was only transmitted to one of his many children. To Shais, not to Cain and not to Hevel. It was transmitted to Shais, and Shais only transmitted it to one child. So Cain, in a later generation, in every generation, there was only one person who had this Inyan Hu'eliki. And Avraham Avinu also only transmitted it to one son, and Yitzchak only transmitted it to one son. And Yaakov, in the days of Yaakov Avinu I, the whole Halacha says that the Yisrael who becomes a Meshumid remains a Jew. The Jewish people are mitos shlema. We would hope that it should be mitos shlema, they should all be religious also. But they are mitos shlema in the sense that all of the children are Jewish. Even if they become a mishuma, they're still considered Jewish. So this Inyan Eliki, as the generations went on, only was transmitted to one person and the others didn't have it. So the others only had the level of Tzelem Elokim, and there was always, in every generation, one person who had some more intense level of Tzelem Elokim. So after the punishment of the Mabul, so the Pasuk declares Yomam V'Layla Lo Yishbos. Then until now, apparently it sounds like HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't command anybody to keep Shabbos. But if anyone would volunteer to observe Shabbos at that time, there would be Yinin, Yinavena Mitzvah V'Yosef. Whoever wants to volunteer to observe Shabbos, everyone is created the Tzelem Elokim. Everybody had an Inyan of Tzelem Elokim. They didn't have this added feature of the Inyan Hu'eliki, that was the intense degree of Tzelem Elokim is only by one person in every generation. But they all shared Tzelem Elokim. So from the Chumash, it sounds as if up until the punishment of the Mabul, who would, whatever Nachri would want to volunteer to observe Shabbos, is Gizuntehe, observe Shabbos, fine. As a Pchina of Ba'alach de Bidracha, Mahu Afata, just like Bishamim Reis Has Shabbos, Kishesh Vishamim Vas Hashem 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 Shabbos Ba'in Nafash. That's a madrega of V'halach de Bidrachav. And now HaKadosh Baruch Hu, after the punishment of the Mabul, there was a major lowering of the level of the Tzelem Elokim. The Pasuk says, from now on, the Nochrim are not permitted to volunteer to observe Shabbos. It means only that one in every generation who had this Inyan Hu'eliki, he had the Tzelem Elokim to its deepest level, he would be allowed to. And the pasuk goes on the millions of the other people. Everybody else was not permitted to volunteer to observe Shabbos. I don't know. That's a big problem. The Gemara has a machlokes hatanoim, whether the Aseres HaShvatim are going to come back, not going to come back. So how does that drive? Rashi has the kasha. Rashi and the Rishonim Achronim asking on the last parak in Sanhedrin, how does this jive with the Gemara in the end of the first parak in Yevamos? But they ask him halacha lemaisa that the Aseres HaShvatim lost the Kedushas Yisrael. So what do they mean they're going to come back? They're going to have to convert again. We don't have enough converts. We have enough trouble from the converts that we have. Well, we need more converts. I don't know. So Rashi works on that, and others are not satisfied with what Rashi says. Others give other suggestions. That's a big problem. We don't know exactly how this fits in together. Observing the Gemara learns it out from this pasuk. Yom Alalalai is pasuk. The Zohar comments on Beni Ben Meni Solos of Yerlom that this is only unique for the Jewish people. But it's the same idea. Same idea from the two pasukim. After the punishment of the Dor Hafloga, there was also a diminishing in the level of the Tzelem Elokim. When the philosophers of the Middle Ages divided everything in the Bria into four categories, Damim Tzameh, Chai Medaber, so why did they choose to call the human being the Medaber? So this is based on the Pesukim in Bereshis, that the Pesuk says that after the Chet of the Eitz Hadas, Adam HaRishon gave his wife a name. He called her Chava, Kihi Hoysa Ein Kol Choy. What does that mean? How does it fit? Chava, he should have called her Chayo. So the Mefarshim, the Rishonim Achronim say that Yud and the Vav are Mischalfos. So what does it mean, Ein Kolchoi? So some of the Mefarshim explain Ein Kolchoi means Ein Kolchov, the mother of all of the Medabrim. Like we say, Yom Liyom Yabi Oimer Velayla Lelayla Yechave Doas. Yechave means to speak. So here also, Ki Hi Heisa Ein Kolchoi is Yud and Vav are Mischalfim. What it really means, Ein Kolchov, she was the mother of all of the Medabrim. The human beings are called Medabrim because speech represents Seichel. The parrot can also speak. And the parrot's not only parrot what you said. The parrot, when you walk in the door, will say, Shalom Aleichem, how are you? The parrot, if he can learn enough to initiate the conversation also. But that's a lower level of speech. And the behemoths also have speech, and the birds have speech. There's a parrot Shira that talks about all the speech. But their speech is considered on a lower level. The human being's speech is unique. The Pasuk says that Chava is given that name because he is the Ein Kol Choy, the mother of all of the Medabrim. And earlier the Pasuk says, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu formed the body of Adam HaRishon, Vayitpach B'yapov Nishmas Chaim Ahihu Adam LeNefesh Chayo, so Rab Chaim Valojiner quotes the Targum Unkelis on that Pasuk, and the Nefesh Chaim quotes the Targum Unkelis that Nefesh Chayo means, what does it mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu breathed a breath of life into the body, and then Adam HaRishon became a wild animal, Nefesh Chaya. He became a wild animal. No, so Nefesh Chaya means Chavo. He got the ability to speak. L'ruach memalolo. He got the ability to speak. So that pasuk also, the Yud and the Vav are Mischalfos, according to the Targum Unkelis. And when the pasuk says that Adam HaRishon was formed as a Nefesh Chaya, it means a Nefesh Chavo, an animal that has the ability to speak, which is a higher Madrega. It's not only a daimim atzameach achai, it's a medaber. So that's where this expression comes from. That we refer to the human being as a medaber because of the ability to speak. Gemara has a famous comment in Kiddushin. The Gemara says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent down 10 measures of speech into this world, and the women got 9 measures and the men got 1 measure. That's because Adam HaRishon called his wife Chava. She's the medaber. But the pasuk says before that he was the medaber. So how did the Chazal decide that the women speak 9 times as much as the men? I don't know. But they're both chava. He was a nefesh chava, ruach memalala, and she was chava memalala. Both speak. So the pasuk and the Gemara. And the Gemara assumes that this koyach hadibur that man has is something that's considered unique. This is representative of the fact that he was created, B'Tzelem Elokim. The pasuk says, Basara Mamoris Nibra Ha'olam. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he made 10 declarations, he made 10 pronouncements. What do you mean? He really had to say, Vayom Elokim Yehi Or. He had to say, Yehi Rakia, Yikov Ha'amayim. It's not to be taken literally. Who was he talking to? Who did he tell it to? Yehi Rakia. He didn't tell it to anybody. So it's not really so that he said these to somebody. It's like Rashi writes on Chumash, it says, God rested. He regained his strength. What do you mean he regained his strength? Well, he had to work hard when he created the world. We say in Akdamas that we recite on Shavuos, when God created the world, he didn't get exhausted. There was no exertion of effort or energy. just vasa kalila. He just made a declaration that the world was created. So he didn't have to work hard. So what does the pasuk mean? Vayinofash, vayonach vayamashvi. What do you mean vayonach vayamashvi? So Rashi and Chumash quotes from the Medrash, hichtiv biatzma menucha. Kodesh Baruch Hu dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu, write menucha, that people should understand it's not false, it's not 100% true, but it's certainly not false. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, write that that's what I did, in order that people should understand that to act b'tzelem alakim, they have to rest on Shabbos. This is part of tzelem alakim. The Rambam writes like that in the Mishneh Torah. The Rambam, when the Rambam in Hilchos Deis talks about the fulfillment of the mitzvah of Alaf the Midrachus, so he says, and it's for this reason that the Tanakh describes all the different activities of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in order to know how to fulfill the mitzvah of Halach to Bedrocha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, and he tells the Nevi'im to write down, to record these, the way he runs things, and they're written down in a certain way, Hichta Biatzmo. They're written in a certain way as to lead us to believe that that's how we're supposed to act in order to go in the ways of God. So Shabbos is described as a day of rest, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kivayochel, as if he did. Rested on Shabbos to teach us that we should go in the ways of God, Halach to Bedrocha, by observing Shabbos. That's a fulfillment of Halach to Bedrocha. And similarly, the Psukim say, Vayomer Elokim, that God spoke, and Baruch Shama, Vahoy Ho'olam, he didn't really speak, he didn't have the Kerech HaDibur, Baruch Shalom doesn't have to speak, but Hichta V'Yatzma Dibur, to teach us that we should use our Dibur for creative purposes. We shouldn't waste our breath. We shouldn't misuse our Kayach HaDibur. The Gemara says in one place in the end of Sait, I think, the Gemara says, what keeps the world going? So the Gemara's answer is, Hevel Piyim Shal Tinoika Shal Beis Rabban. The little children who are learning Abba Ben, they're learning Siddur, they're learning Chumash. So Neschus, the world continues to be maintained. So the Gemara says, the little children, the Abba Ben. But what about the DVD Dochmai? What about our learning? We learn Marshos, or Baruch Be'ez, or Pshimins, a much higher Madregan than the little children. They don't even know what they're saying. So our learning is on a much higher level. So if the Rebbeinu Shalom maintains the world in the schus of Talmud Torah, so it should be Torah sent to the world. Our learning, what's that to the little children? So the Gemara says, no, that the DVD Doch, my learning and your learning, is Pogum, because we have already defiled our lips with Divrei Nivul Peh, and with Lashon Hara, and with Rechilas, and with Machlekes, and with Lashon Meguna. The Gemara speaks about the importance of speaking with a proper language, even if it's not Nibul Peh. The Gemara speaks about Habeima Sherenena Tahira. It's also in today's Sedra. Instead of saying Habeima Tmeya, when you're saying over the halachas, so the Gemara says, Liol mi yaladam aradam letalmida derech tzara. You should always try to say everything in a nutshell, say everything in one word. So you say, this is treif. But whenever it's not, because if you say it bekitzer, so it'll be more exaggerated, and it'll be understood better. If you say everything bekitzer, so the talmidim will understand it faster, and they'll be able to retain it better, and they'll be able to transmit it better, and so on. But once in a while, a person has to go out of his way to say, this is not kosher. Instead of saying this is treif, to say aloshe nekiyah. This is abeim asher enena tahira. It's important to use nekiyah's haloshen, a fancy nekiyah, not only not to have nibul peh, to have nekiyah's haloshen. So the Gemara says, the DVD doch, my learning and your learning, on one level is much higher than the learning of the children. The children is abba peh. What do they understand? The adults understand much better. But on another level, the learning of the children comes from a mouth that has not been defiled with the dvarim asurim, as opposed to the mouth and the lips and the tongue of the adults, which has already been defiled. So the Koyach HaDibur is something that's considered unique to man. Nefesh Chayo, L'ruach Memalalo, Ein Kol Chai, Ein Kol Chav. This is why man is called the Medaber, and with the Koyach HaDibur that he has, he can accomplish tremendous things. Rav Chaim Volozhin quotes the Pasuk in Yeshaya, that's in one of the Haftaras that we just had. V'asim dvorai b'ficho, v'tzel yodi ki sisich l'entor shemayim v'lis adoritz v'leim adetio malach elo koyach. So he says, what does the Pasuk say? V'asim dvorai b'ficho, I put my words into your mouth, God says. I put the Koyach HaDibur into your mouth, l'entor shemayim v'lis adoritz. The man has the ability with the Koyach HaDibur to create olam Yisrael Yainim. If he davens properly and he learns Torah properly and he doesn't misuse his Korach HaDibur, he can do tremendous things. So the Pesukim tell us that after the Yeridus HaDoris, there was a Yeridus HaDoris, but the Mali Hartz Chomas till the Mabul came. And after the Mabul, apparently the punishment was that man's Tzelem Elokim was lowered to such a level that the others were not permitted to observe Shabbos anymore. Only the one who has this inyan who elokik. By the others, it would be totally out of place. Yomim v'layla lo yishbosa. They're going to try to imitate the ways of God. That's like I make believe like I'm a nuclear physicist. I have no shaykhis with it. What do you mean you're going to imitate God? Imitate God and rachum, chanun, and erech hapayim, other things, but to imitate God and shvisis ha-shabbos, that's only for the Bnei Yisrael, only for those who have this inyan who elokik. For the others, it's totally out of place. Apparently, after the punishment of the Dor HaPlaga, there was also a major diminishing of the Tzelem Elokim. The nature of the punishment was Bolal Hashem's Fas Kol Haaretz. The Koyach HaDibur was lowered. The Koyach HaDibur that singles out human beings, which is an aspect of the Tzelem Elokim, because the Psukim HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu and the Chumash. Right, Vayom Elokim Yehi Or. Right, Vayom Elokim Yehi Rakia. Right, all this in the Chumash, that I have a Koyach HaDibur with which I can create. And he implanted that Koyach HaDibur into all of the human beings. So as the generations went on and there was a Yeridus HaDoros, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu was pugging the level of the Tzelem Elokim that all of man originally had. And after the Dor HaPlaga, there was Bolal Hashem's Fas Kol Haaretz. There was a weakening in the Koyach HaDibur. So that's what many point out. It's a popular notion in recent Svarim. That's what many point out. The Mishnah in Bava Metzia speaks about a person who's in business and Zeino Imit B'Diburoi. Let's say if you sell Metaltalim, you buy it, you sell Metaltalim, and the money was already given over, but you didn't make the Kinyan Mashiach yet, you didn't make the Kinyan Hadboya. So the Mishnah says that you can back out, either Menaterim or the Rabbanim, whatever it is, the whole discussion in the Gemara, the Halacha says you can back out. But it's a terrible thing to be Ein Oymid B'Dibura. If the person took the money and then he backs out, that's a terrible Avera. And whoever backs out after making the Kinyan Mois, before he made the Kinyan Mashiach Hadboya, we tell him, if you want to, you can back out. We won't force you to go through with the deal, but we're going to punish you for backing out. So what's the punishment? Sometimes the guy doesn't care about the punishment. Sometimes he will be so concerned about the punishment, this will deter him from backing out. The punishment is, the Bezdin curses him, and they give him a Mishapara, the opposite of a Mishabera. In Yiddish, he called this also a Mishabera, but it's a Mishapara. So we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the God in heaven above, who punished the Dor HaMabul and the Dor HaFloge, should punish you for being Ein Oymid B'Dibura. So it's a popular notion in recent Sforim, why did they single out the Dor HaFloge? Because the Dor HaPlaga's punishment was that the Koyach HaDibur was weakened. Bolal Hashem's Fas Kol Haaretz. Their Tzelem Elokim, their Madrega of Tzelem Elokim was lowered. That's what happened both times, both after the punishment of the Mabul as well as the punishment of the Dor HaPlaga. In both punishments, there was a major punishment, not just suffering. The level of Tzelem Elokim was lessened. After the Mabul, we see that no more volunteering Shvisa Shabbos. It just doesn't fit in with all the other people. It's the Shvisa Shabbos, the volunteer is in Yinav, Halachta V'drachav, doesn't fit in with any of the people who don't have this Inyan Hu'eliki. In the earlier generation, it sounds like it did fit in. And after the Mabul, there was a lowering of the Tzelem Elokim, doesn't fit in. And after the Dor HaPlaga, there was a further lowering of the level of the Tzelem Elokim, that the Koyach HaMedaber, which is what's unique to us, was weakened. So that's why this fellow who's violating his word, he's not keeping his promise. He's saying, Oymid B'Dibura, so we punish him, we curse him. He said, the Bnei Shalom who punished the Dor HaMabul and the Dor HaPlaga should punish you for being Ein Oymid B'Dibura. You're not using your Koyach HaMedaber in the proper fashion. Chir HaChavsh is with many more things, yeah. The Ikat Chir HaChavshis, together with other aspects of Elokus, Rach, Machan, and all the Midas of Elokus were implanted within all of mankind. And And as things are now, the Bnei Yisrael have this more intense degree of Tzelem Elokim. We have what we call Banim Lamakom. So we have halachas, we have many halachas based on that assumption. Take for example the famous din that the Rambam quotes in the Gemara, that once in a while the halacha says that Bezdin has the right to force a man to give his wife a get. So the Gemara asked Akasha, the Rambam quotes the Gemara asked Akasha, but the halacha says a get mu'usa is no good, he has to give the get midaitom, miritzono. So the Rambam quotes the answer that the Gemara gives is not that all Jewish people really have an innate desire to do the wishes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if the Rabbanim tell you have to divorce your wife, that's the wish of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this statement that the Rambam says that all Bnei Yisrael have this innate desire, and when he beat up the person and he says, Reitz Ani, it's really true. His real Ani, his real personality, does want to do Ratzon Hashem. Aye, but he does want to give the get. That's a pseudo-personality. His real self does want to do Ratzon Hashem. It does want mitzvah, the Shema Deva Chachamim, does want to do the mitzvah. So we assume like that. That's surprising. We assume that every Jew has an innate desire to do Ratzon Hashem. Every Jew has an Ava HaMesuteris. The Baal HaTanya coins the phrase Ava HaMesuteris towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like Dovan HaMelech says in Tilim, Ka'ayol Ta'arog Alayfikei Moyim Kinaf Shitarig Elecho Hashem. Like the gazelle has a natural instinct and it knows how to run towards the river and to drink the water. What, the gazelle has a map and he looks on the map? She looks on the map and she knows where? No, it's an instinctive thing. So too all the Jewish people yearn to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we assume that this is only by the Jewish people. But the Umas Ha'olam, the Chachmei Umas Ha'olam say it's not so. That's what they call tabula rasa. They say that man's mind is blank when the baby is born and everything is developed later. There is no such thing as an innate, instinctive desire to do Ratzon Hashem. So we assume that they're both Eilu ve'Eilu Divrei Elokim Chayim. They're right and we're right. They're right as far as Umas Ha'olam is concerned. And we're right as far as Bnei Yisrael is concerned. Because we have the Banim Lamakom. We have these genes. We have this DNA. Originally Adam HaRishon had everything. Originally Adam HaRishon was Betzalel Elokim and that was the peak. He had the Inyan Ha'Eloki. But then as the generations went on, the Inyan Ha'Eloki was only given to one child. And then the next generation also only, it was only transmitted to one child. And then there was a major Yiridus HaDoros after the punishment of the Mabul, and a major Yiridus HaDoros after the punishment of the Dor HaFlogin. So as it turns out now, the only ones that have the full Inyan Ha'Eloki with the Tzelem Elokim, with the Banim Lamakom, are the Bnei Yisrael. The rest of the Umas Ha'Olam don't have it. So it's taka true. We assume by the Umas Ha'Olam, it is tabula rasa. By Bnei Yisrael, it's an innate desire. The Pasuk in Tehillim refers now to the Bnei Yisrael. Originally it referred to everybody. But as the years went on, things changed. Pasuk says in Novi, the Gemara in Kiddushin, quotes this Pasuk and has a discussion on it. The Jewish people are supposed to be known for their honesty. They're supposed to be more medactic in their koyach adibur than the Umas Ha'olam. Because we have a more intense degree of Tzelem Elokim, to the extent that we call it Banim Lamakom. We have more of this DNA. The Umas Ha'olam have a lower level that we call Tzelem Elokim. We have a more intense degree of this. We're supposed to serve as the Or LaGoyim. Because we are the Banim Lamakom, B'din Bechori Yisrael, the first child. The oldest child is supposed to help raise the younger children. He's supposed to show by example how the younger children are supposed to behave. So we're B'din Bechori Yisrael. So we're the Amanit, because we're supposed to show the other nations of the world. We're supposed to be the Or LaGoyim to show them how to preserve their Tzelem Elokim. There is an expression in Yiddish and in English as well, a Yiddish cup. So in Yiddish, when we speak about a Yiddish cup, you mean he has a sharp head. The guy's very sharp. Sometimes you have a nanji, you say, ah, he has a Yiddish cup. Or the Chazal say that who's buried in the Moris HaAchpelo, it's Avram and Sarah, and Yitzchak and Rivka, and Yankif and Leah, and the head of Esav. Why the head of Esav? Because he had a Yiddish cup. That's a Yiddish folklore that says, I had a Yiddish cup. Okay. So we use the expression Yishikov in a positive way. The expression is in English also, he has a Jewish head. And in English, it means just the opposite. When you have a crook who is a conniver, he knows how to cheat, and he knows how to dray out of everything, and how to gamble from everybody, and cheat on the right and on the left, they call that he has a Jewish head. That's Mamash Achil Hashem. The Jews are supposed to be the Or LaGoyim, we're supposed to be the ones. We're supposed to be We're supposed to show them the way to preserve the Tzel Malakim, and somehow it's not perceived like that. You have to investigate which is the truth, which is the true version, but the perception often is that it's just not so. Regarding this Bala Lashem Spas Kol Haaretz, after the Dor HaFloga, what avera did they do that they deserved the punishment? That's the question. What was their avera? So Rashi quotes the Medrash that they wanted to build Migdal v'Rosh HaBashamayim to revolt against HaKadosh Baruch. They planned to climb up to the skies and to revolt against the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's one version in the Medrash. And other opinions in the Medrash say nothing like that. That's a little ridiculous. They were so infantile. They thought that God is, if they climb up high enough, they go on an airplane, where are they going to find God? Where are they going to revolt? So the other opinions in the Medrash think that that's not the story. And there's a famous essay by the Ran in the Drosha Saran where he explains it's just the story of the United Nations. They were just getting all together. And the United Nations is sometimes a blessing and sometimes a curse. The Mishnah says in Sanhedrin, Kinus l'tzadikin tov lahem etov la'olam, and Kinus l'rishoyim is ra lahem v'ra la'olam. When Rishoyim get together, it's bad enough when you have individual Rishoyim, that they do rishis and they have a negative hashpo on the people that they associate with. But if you have a Kinus l'rishoyim, they have a conference and they have an organization, and they all get together, then they can destroy the whole world. And Kinus l'tzadikin is tov lahem etov la'olam. You have many people join together. Agudah. Yasuchulam agud echas. It's supposed to be all the Yirei Shemayim. It's supposed to join together. Lasis tzoncha b'leiv avshalim. To do the wish of God. So Kinus l'tzadikin is tov lahem etov la'olam. It's supposed to be good for the world. So the Ran has a long essay on this topic in the Drosha Saran. He says he doesn't see that they did any aveira. They were just... Many of them were worshipping Avodah Zarah at that time. And they formed the United Nations, that everyone should be all united together. So he says, wow, the Ribbono Shel Olam says, what's going to be? There's going to be a tzaddik Avraham Avinu who's going to want to believe in monotheism. So they're going to kill him. They're going to chase him off the face of the earth. He'll have to run away from, let's say the Jews had to run away from England, they were killing Jews, and then had to run away from France, they were killing Jews, and run away from Germany, they're killing Jews all over. So if you're going to have United Nations, they're going to adopt uniform policies. So there's going to be Avraham Avinu, going to be a Jewish people. So, Anu Mipanecha Ebrach, where are we going to be able to run away? It's a terrible thing to have all the nations of the world united if they're going to do Dvarim Roim. So they'll all be united. They won't let any tzaddik can breathe. So that's why the Ribbono Shel Olam knocked down this whole idea. He didn't want to have a kinus. He didn't want to have United Nations. Because it may turn out the raw. That's the question. The United Nations that we have. How much good the United Nations do and how much bad did they do? There was a famous comment that was made, the United Nations ran for a long time. There's a famous comment that may still be true, that the only good thing the United Nations ever did was to recognize HaKamas HaMedina. That's what saved all the lives of all the Jews. There was no place for the Jews to go after the war was over. No country in the world wanted to take them. The British had Eretz Yisrael, didn't want to let them into Eretz Yisrael. And by some quirk, some quirk of history, the Ribbono Shel Olam sought to it that the United Nations recognize the HaKamas HaMedina. They had a committee to discuss it, and with the Nisim and Nifloas, they agreed to let the Jewish people establish a Medina. They recognized the Demen HaShemayim, President Truman, as the President of the United States, he recognized the Medina. Then he had Charata the next day, why he recognized the Medina. So that's what some people say, that Ad HaYom HaZeh, maybe that's the only good thing that the United Nations ever comes. A question. What was the punishment? Came out the Bala Lashem Spas Kol Ha'aretz. Rashi HaChumash quotes that the Shivim Lashon were developed at that time. The 70 languages. Is there any significance to this number of 70? 70 languages. Rabbi Chaim Zalman Margolius has in his... Chaim Zalman Margolius was a successful businessman abroad. And he was not the rabbi in Broad, but he knew how to learn very well, and he wrote the Shabbos HaTshuvos. They didn't ask the rabbi the Shabbos, they asked him. He wrote a lot of svarim. So one of his many svarim is the Shabbos HaTshuvos, Beis Ephraim. He's known for his... He wrote many svarim. He was a wealthy businessman. They say that one of his svarim is the Yad Ephraim on the Shulchan Aruch. He has many other svarim. Usually he has his name Ephraim. in the name of the Sefer. So they tell Yiddish folklore, they tell over the story that a poor man once came to him for an adava, and he gave him a very small donation. And he asked him, how do you like my svarim? What do you say to my svarim? Aren't they great? So he said, they're all good except for the arefrain. He doesn't give enough. He doesn't give enough tzedakah to them. Anyway, he's one of the prominent postmen. So there's they have a tshuva that does not appear in the Beis Ephraim, and Shal Shiva's Beis Ephraim. He delivered Hespedim also. So there's one volume that has a collection of a few Hespedim with this tshuva. That was at the beginning of the Reform movement in Germany. And one of the first things that they did was that they changed the text to the tefillah. They decided they're going to daven in German. But it's a literal translation of the Siddur. They didn't throw out the Karbonis. They didn't throw away Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias. They still had separate seating. Everything was 100% except they were davening in German. So what's wrong with davening in German? The Mishnah says they can daven. You can daven b'chol loshon. You have to b'chol loshon. The Gemara recommends that when a person is davening b'yichidus, he should daven b'loshon hakodesh, because the Malachi Ashores are not makir loshon aramis. And some Rishonim hold loshon aramis means the vernacular, not only Aramaic. It means you shouldn't daven in the vernacular. And a yachid who daven shalei b'tzibur needs the angels to present his prayers lifnei kisei hakovet. But the Gemara says if the tzibur daven, so they don't need the angels to present the tefillas hakodesh baruch hu. Enkel kabir lo yemos. The Gemara quotes that first. The Gemara says that the tefillas hatzibur go directly to the Ribbono Shel Olam, so they can even daven in the vernacular. They can even daven in Aramaic. So it's straight in Gemara in the Shulchan Aruch. It's ozgehalten, 100% ozgehalten. So they started davening in German, in translation, in accordance with the Shulchan Aruch. The only thing they didn't do was they didn't ask any of the Gedolei HaTorah for their approval. They had many Rabbanim who knew how to learn. They didn't ask the Gedolim. They knew who the Gedolim were. They didn't ask them for approval. So all the Rabbanim were very upset about this. The Chasam Sofer and Rabbi Kiva Eger and Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolius, and they all wrote tshuvas to explain why they think that this is terrible. And each one gave a different reason. Some Sefer says that it's a terrible thing that we don't know Hebrew, but at least if we daven in Hebrew, so at least we know that, what are we davening? We don't know what we're talking about, so we're going to have to look in a translation. We're going to try to prepare ourselves for the davening. But if you're going to switch the davening to German, so no one will even try to learn Hebrew. So that'll be a disaster. That's a political consideration. It's not a halachic consideration. And they gave various considerations. Then Rabbi Chaim Zalman Margolius writes another consideration. He's not happy with their translation. He says some of the words they translated inaccurately. You're only yotze if you daven in translation if it's an accurate translation. If it's inaccurate, so it's not good. Hashem's name can't be translated. That's another argument, right? So Ephraim Zalman Margolius has another argument. This is questionable whether anybody agrees with this argument. He says when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Balo Sfas Kol HaOretz, and at that time came into existence the Shivim Lashon. So the Halacha only recognizes the 70 languages. We recognize Lashon HaKodesh. You can be yotze davening in Hebrew even if you don't understand Hebrew. That's how we say in Shulchan Aruch. And you can be yotze davening in translation if you understand that language. If you speak that language that you're davening in. So Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolius claims a chiddush, but the Halacha only recognizes those Shivim Lashon that were in existence at the time of the Dor HaFlaga. So he says, so how do we know that the German language in the 1800s was one of the original languages? It probably was not. Probably all those Shivim Lashon that existed in the days of the Dor HaFlaga were all mixed up now, and the German is probably a blend of 20 different languages. He has a chiddush, he thinks that you're not Yotze. The Pashta says that that's not the accepted opinion. Accepted opinion is that our language is Haskamas HaMedinas, the Ran, and the first Daven in Dorm, that Beis Amin Aleph writes. What is a language? A language is Haskamas HaMedinas, whatever people make up, that's it, Shoyn. Avelvela Soloveitchik in the Shiurim on the first Daven Nazir is quoted as having raised a suffix. How many people have to speak the language that it should be recognized? Let's say you have a group of college students who speak Pig Latin. Yeah, how many people do you have who speak Pig? When they don't want someone else to understand, so they make up their own language, Pig Latin. So they have, let's say, 20,000 people speak this language. Is that enough? Is that called a language? Well, that's not called a language. A language you have to have, a city, a medina. How many people have to speak the language? Abdullah Soloveitchik is not sure what the, he thinks there must be some minimum number of people that speak the language that it should be recognized as a language. But nobody says it has to be one of the original languages from the Shivim Lashon. What's the din? Let's say a person takes a neder or a shvuah. So the chalasha ibata yod mishmo. If he says it, it's binding. If he doesn't say it, chisha b'libay. So it's not binding. Tzarach levate b'svasa. But once he pronounces the neder of the shvur with his lips, it's binding. Yeah, but he has to speak in a language. So let's say he makes up his own language, gibberish. There are no such words. He makes up his own words. So that's like chisha b'libay. He never said anything. Unless he says in advance, that's a question. What if he says in advance, when I say hapchu, I mean bananas. And then he says, and when I say no, I mean yes. When I say yes, I mean no. So he says, I hereby take, when I say neder, I mean shua, when I say shua, I mean neder. Now here goes. I hereby take a neder, that means a shua, that I will not, that means I will, eat hapchu. Means he just took a neder that he will eat bananas. So he just made up his own words. He gives you his own dictionary. He's the only one. He doesn't always speak in Islamic. He just said it. It's even less than Pig Latin. You have 20,000 college students speaking. So one of the Mefarshim on the first daf in Nazir, Orach Mishon, in the back of the Gemara, interprets Yerushalmi that that's acceptable, that that is a language. That's a big Kiddush. The Pashtus is like Rav Elwal assumed, that it has to be a spoken language. You have to have a Haskamas Kama B'nei Yodam. He's not sure how many B'nei Yodam. But the Pashtus is not the way Rabbi Chaim Zalman Margolyes said. It has to be one of the original Shivim Loshin from the days of the Dor HaFlogeh. That's a very wild fetish to say such a thing. After the Mabul is all over and HaKadosh Baruch Hu diminished the Tzelem Elokim significantly, so one might think perhaps that there's no longer an Issur Ritzicha. The whole prohibition of Ritzicha is because man was created Tzelem Elokim. There's still the Tzelem Elokim, but it's a shvacha form of Tzelem Elokim. So the Rebbeinu Shlom has to repeat it. The prohibition of Ritzicha was given to Adam Arishan. The Gemara in Sanhedrin points out, "Vayitzav Hashem Elokim al Adam leimor mekolei tzadan ochel techol." It's included in the phrase there, "Vayitzav Hashem Elokim al Adam leimor." Are all of the Sheva mitzvahs been enough? Not all the Sheva. Even Menachai didn't exist until after the Mabul, because Adam Arishan was not permitted to eat basar. He was only allowed to eat fruits and vegetables. And only after the Mabul he was allowed to eat basa. So the issue of Eved Menachai only began after the Mabul, after he was allowed to eat basa. That's how the Gemara said. That's how the Rambam quotes from the Gemara. So Adam Rishon wasn't given Sheva mitzvahs Menachai. He was given 6 out of the 7. The number 7 is a little inaccurate. The Gemara says there are more than 7. The 7 is Benegeta Oynish Miso. As the Rasam Zui Misosam, the Gemara says, if the Benoyach, if the Nochri violates any one of the Sheva mitzvahs Benoyach, so he has to get the death penalty. The Gemara says, and the Rambam quotes, and the Yeridei quotes, that there are additional prohibitions, more than 7, that the Bnei Noach, HaKobas Ilanis is also, and HaBoaz Behemis is also. And there are more prohibitions, but they don't get a death penalty. They don't get the Onesh Misa death. Malakim, as a punishment of the Dor HaMabul, even though it's diminished, but Sof Kol Sof, there is enough, there is sufficient Tzelem Malakim that it should be prohibited to kill. Rashi has an interesting comment on the Pasuk. Achaz dimchem l'nafshe seichem medrosh, miyad ha'odam miyad ish achiv, edrosh is nefesh ha'odam. The Rashi says, ish achiv, a brother usually means a good friend. Yedidim, what do you mean a good friend is going to kill his friend? It's a shver, a Pasuk. And Rashi says, b'shoigig. Rashi says that he kills b'shoigig. Miyad shuhu ohev lo ke'ach, he loves him as a brother, b'haroga b'shoigig. So there's also going to be a punishment for horig b'shoigig. There's a famous comment here based on the Rashi and the Ksaba Kabbalah. He says that there was always discussion for many years of mercy killings. So the Torah says the mercy killing is forbidden. Shafech dam ha'odam, how does it say? Miyad ish ochi vedrosh es nefesh ha'odam. Malakim, as a punishment of the Dor HaMabul, even though it's diminished, but sof kol sof, there is enough, there is sufficient Tzelem Malakim that it should be prohibited to kill. Rashi has an interesting comment on the pasuk. Achaz dimchem l'nafshe seichem medrosh, miyad ha'odam miyad ish achiv, edrosh es nefesh ha'odam. The Rashi says, ish achiv, a brother usually means a good friend. Yedidim, what do you mean a good friend is going to kill his friend? It's a shver, a pasuk. The Rashi says, b'shoigig, Rashi says if he kills b'shoigig. Miyad shuhu ohev lo ke'ach, he loves him as a brother, b'haroga b'shoigig. So there's also going to be a punishment for harig b'shoigig. There's a famous comment here based on the Rashi and the Ksaba Kabbalah. He says that there was always discussion for many years of mercy killings. So the Torah says the mercy killing is forbidden. Shafech dam ha'odam, how does it say? Miyad ish ochi vedrosh es nefesh ha'odam. Even if you kill the other person because you love him and the suffering, yisuri gehenim. You want to relieve them of the pain, so the Torah says it's prohibited to kill. Retzach mitoch rachamim, mitoch chemlo, is forbidden. It's along the lines of Rashi, but not exactly. Rashi says Niyad Ishoch means ohavo. So how did he kill him if he loves him? So Rashi said he killed the b'shoigi. He killed the b'shoigi, there's still a punishment. So the Ksav HaKabbalah says no. He kills him amazed, mitoch chemlo, mitoch rachamim. That's the mocker for the prohibition of mercy killing. This pasuk also is understood by the Gemara as alluding to suicide. Achaz dimchem lenafsho seichem ed rosh. One is prohibited to take his own life. Not only is it forbidden to kill someone else, it's prohibited to kill for a person to kill himself. What if it's what if the person wants to commit suicide in order to spare himself pain and agony at the hands of others? Let's say many Jews during the war committed suicide rather than fall in the hands of the Nazis because they didn't want to suffer at the hands of the Nazis. Like Shaul HaMelech committed suicide because he was afraid that he didn't want the Plishtim to kill him. First he asked the one who was with him, the man who was with him, that he should kill him. And he said he's not going to kill him, then he committed suicide. So there's a medrash on the pasuk, on this pasuk, a few medrashim say, ach is a miut. So the pasuk says, achaz dimchel l'nashesech medrash, there is a prohibition of suicide, but achaz a miut, sometimes it's mutter. So when is it mutter? So the medrash says, yachol kishol, maybe even if a person commits suicide, like the case of Shaul HaMelech, that it was warranted. He committed suicide in order to spare himself more pain at the hands of the Plishtim, if they would capture him alive. So the pasuk says, ach, that it's permissible. So this is a question whether we paskin like this medrash or not. And the Gemara, this drasha does not appear. The Beis Yosef and Yerideya in the Siman of Yehoreg Val Yavar. So the Beis Yosef originally did not quote. The Beis Yosef is the commentary on the Torah by Rabbi Yosef Karo, the author of the Shulchan Aruch. So originally he printed a Beis Yosef. Then he printed a later edition where he added Hoysophis. Those are called Bedek Abayis. When he touched up, he fixed up his Beis Yosef. That's the Bedek Abayis, the touching up the Beis Yosef. So if you look in a regular tour, so the Beis Yosef is always in Rashi script, and the Bedek Abayis is in bold block letters and printed letters. So you can find right away whenever there's a Bedek Abayis. It always has Beis Hei. Beis Hei stands for Bedek Abayis. It always has Beis Hei. Always says Beis Yud on top of the page, Beis Yosef. Then it has Beis Hei, not Baruch Hashem, but Bedek Abayis before the bold letters. So the Beis Yosef in the Bedek Abayis quotes this medrash and doesn't disagree. He implies that that's the halacha. That one is permitted to commit suicide in order to spare himself from great pain later. To do mercy killing for someone else, that not. But to commit suicide, that yes. And the later paskim are not so sure whether we should paskim like this, Beis Yosef. Many disagree. The pasuk speaks of miyad kol chaya ed rishenu. There's a punishment for killing someone else, ayidei behema. What does that mean? Miyad kol chaya ed rishenu. So the Ramban has a machlokes with the Rambam here. On this pasuk, miyad kol chaya ed rishenu. Ramban says, behemas alab b'nei das. The one who's alab bar das, achei rishayot v'kotin is alab bar das. The behema for sure is alab bar das. The behema cannot have any mitzvahs. None of the tayag mitzvahs apply to the behemas. So the Rambam is bothered with a kasha. Why do you kill a shor on this call? If a shor shaharagas adam, why do you kill the shor? So the Mishnah asked the kasha by shor hanirva. Shor haraveh v'shor hanirva. So the Mishnah in Sanhedrin Daf Nun Hey asks, "Im Adam Chata Behema Mechata." The Behema doesn't have enough seichel to understand that there's something wrong with Mishka Behema. So why do you kill the Behema? So the Mishnah gives an answer. The Mishnah gives two answers, and Mar has a question. What does the answer mean? Halacha Lamaisa, there are details there. When do you kill the Behema? When don't you kill the Behema? Mishnah never raised the question Benegia. The Gemara never raises the question Benegia to show Shaharagas Adam. In Adam Chata Behema Mechata, if a person kills another person, he deserves a death penalty. A behemoth kills a person. What's the chet? So the Gemara never asks it. The Rambam asks the question. And the Mara Nevuchim. So the Rambam says, no, it's not a punishment to the shor. It's a punishment to the bala shor. If he was negligent and he lets his behemoth run loose and kill a person, the Chumash says that he deserves to lose the shor. So we kill the shor, we give the shor skila as the punishment to the bala shor. And it's even Asabahano. Normally I would say it's a Nevela. Nevela should be Asabahila Mutabano. So the Pasuk says no, that it's even Asabahano. So it's really a punishment to the Balasha. So the Ramban Achumish disagrees with the Rambam. He says that there's a Mishnah in Babakama, in Memhei, where the Mishnah says, Mishnah brings the Machloik to Satanah, Rabbi Yudah and the Rabbanon. What about a Shor Hefker? Shahara Gesodim. What about a Shor Hamidbar? A Shor Hefker, Shor Hamidbar. Shahara Gesodim. You give the shor the death penalty. That's the famous story. There was once a balabos had yartzai for his parents, so he was learning mishnayos. So he learned something new that he never came across before. So he came into shul, came into the shul, and he said, "Where is there a mishnah that talks about an animal that knows how to speak?" So he said, "Idiot! There is no mishnah. There are no animals know how to speak. There's no mishnah." He said, "No, there's a beferish mishnah that talks about an animal that knows how to speak." So everyone was dumbfounded. They didn't know. I think the story goes about the tzemach tzedek, the third Lubavitcher Rebbe. So he came in. And the Chassidim said to the Rebbe that he says that there's a Mishnah about an animal knows how to speak. So he thought for a moment. He says, "Yeah, the Mishnah in Bava Kama, Shor Hamidaber." He thought the Mishnah talks about Shor Hamidbar. But he knew this Balabas, he didn't know how to read. The Mishnais didn't have Nekudas, they didn't have Kahati. So he knew he wouldn't know that it's a Shor Hamidbar. The Stam of the Balabas thought that Shor Hamidaber. That's what they point out, how great that Tzemach Tzedek was. He was such a genius, he even knew how to figure out what mistake the Balabas was making. Not only did he know what's right, he knew what mistake the Balabas would make. So the Ramban Achumish quotes this Mishnah. There's a machloikis Hatanaim, Rabbi Yudah and the Rabbanu, where the Shor Hamidbar, Shahara Gesodim, gets skila or not. So Rabbi Yudah says no. You only give the Shor skila if it belongs to someone. So he says the Rambam Svarah, the Ramban Achumish writes, the Rambam Svarah in the Mora Nevuchim, that the giving of the death penalty to the Shor, the skilas Hashor, by Shor Shahara Gesodim, is a punishment to the Balashor is only nitan v'heyomer if you should accept the halacha of Rabbi Yudah. But we don't pass him like Rabbi Yudah. We pass him that Ashor Hefker, Shoharag, is also Chayiv Misa. So he says, the Rambam is wrong. It's a punishment to the Shor. Aye, but the Shor is a la bar das, like the Mishnah asks, Morim Chota Behemah Mechota. So he says, no, that Mishnah only asks the question by Mishka Behemah. The Behemah doesn't have Sechel over there, so that's a different reason why you punish the Shor. But all the Behemahs have enough Sechel to understand that they're not allowed to kill a human being because they were all saved by Noach on the occasion of the Mabul. So they all know in their personalities, all the behemoths know, all the animals know that they're not out of Hakoras HaTov to Noach, they're not allowed to kill any of Noach's descendants. And any behemoth that kills a person is Chayiv Misa because it has enough seichel to understand that it's doing wrong. That's what the Ramban says. Miyat kol chayed v'shenu. The behemoth deserves a punishment because it does have enough seichel to understand that it shouldn't kill another. That's the famous machlok is the Rambam in the Ramban. Gemara has dinim. Gemara has dinim where the Gemara distinguishes. The Medrash says, Miyat, the Rambam quotes a Medrash on the pasuk Miyat kol chayed v'shenu. Rambam, the beginning of Hilchos Retzeach, says, what if I stick a dog at a person and I get the dog to bite him and to kill him? I encourage an animal to eat a person up alive. So then the Rambam, normal that you live on someone. Every person has to have a sense of independence. And parents, part of training children is that they have to train their children to be independent. Some people want their children always to call them up for all their shilas. After they're married and have children, every decision in life, whether to buy a new apartment or to move or to switch a job, the parents want to call all the shots. So that's terrible. The parents have to train the children to be independent. Anyway, that's what the Yoina taught us that lesson. Yonah said it's better to have less parnasa, miserable parnasa, bitter olives. Yom is a nice and mirroring to Zayis, but the Yad HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly from the Rosh Hashanah, rather than to be Tali and Abbas of the Dom. Okay.